You missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Sipiso Magwetla Gugule Tumfupi out until Thursday. She'll be back though. So we continue with Kaya Biz on this Tuesday. This time we're talking about deeds office delays, what every home buyer and seller should know. And to give us that very important information is Colin Strumpfer, sales manager at Better Bond. Colin, good evening. Thank you so much for speaking to us.
Hi, good evening, Tapiso. Thank you very much for having us on, and good evening to your listeners.
So at a very basic level, before, and you know, this is what I realized when I bought for my, you know, the first time. I thought there's just so much that people don't tell you. You are literally thrown in the deep end, left to figure it out yourself. Even people at the bank, as much as they think that if they've empowered you, there's a lot that they don't tell you about. So with regards to this aspect, what is it that every home buyer and seller should know?
Now, I think it's very important in the whole home buying process, and you know, never mind the delays at the deeds office, but in the whole home buying process, is to engage with a professional. So be that as somebody in our business who does bond originating, conveyancer who does the transfers and the bonds on these transactions. You know, there are more and more customers who are doing a lot more homework around home buying and what is involved, the costs and all of those things. In terms of delays, I think the critical part in what we as consumers can do is to prepare, get our paperwork in order. Inevitably, if you're going to buy a property, there's going to be tax clearances needed. There's going to be a FICA done on you. So simple things like, are your ID documents in order and up to date? Have you got your FICA documents ready? Proof of address, those kind of things. Rates clearances are going to be done. A multitude of documents and information that you can probably get right beforehand. Do you need a home loan? Come to somebody like us, get pre-approved so you know what you would qualify for before you even do the application. So really engage with somebody in the home buying industry or that can guide you and help you with from the start what is the processes and documents needed.
So you've probably thought you've hit a home run, home stretch, especially if you're given a pack to look at and a fact checklist to say these are the documents you need and the dates within which you need to have completed each task. What is the one thing that can trip you up even though you hadn't thought about it and that can lead to stress and financial risks in with regards to deeds?
I think, just to go back to, if there's a home loan that's required, then please speak to a professional. They will guide you through the whole home loan process. There are a multitude of documents that's needed for that, to apply for the finance at the various banks. From the attorney side, if you're the seller, for instance, they get an attorney, an accredited attorney that can help you through that process, an accredited property practitioner or estate agent, as they were known in the past, that can help you with that side of things. So there are lots of documents. I think get prepared, get those things in place, speak to the right people, and make sure what it is that you need. If you're not going to need finance and you're buying a property cash, that will be different to somebody who does need home loan finance.
And there's a reason I'm actually asking you this, Colin, because as you said, back then they were known as state agents. So somebody who you believe is representing you should be acting within your best interest. So you've got legal advice on your side as a buyer, and then the seller has legal advice on their side. But I'm talking about occupational rent here because it is directly linked to the deeds office, isn't it? So you reach an agreement based on the period it will take for you to register the home in your name. Am I correct?
Yes. So okay. The occupational rent comes in if you want early access to a property. In other words, you haven't actually you don't actually own the property at this point in time. In other words, transfer hasn't taken place from the seller into the buyer's name, but you have got the opportunity. The seller is happy to let you move in. The place is not occupied beforehand. So then there are certain things like occupational rent that will need to be paid. Yes, there are attorneys involved on both sides on the purchase. I think the key with occupational rent and early occupation is to understand that you are not the owner of the property. So don't go make 110 renovations mm-hmm. to the property until it is actually in your name. You're not the owner. You are technically a tenant. You are paying occupational rent, which is a rent. And if you're not there for, say, a full month, only for 10 or 12 days of a 30-day month, you will get the rest of the money back. But you are going to be paying a rent for the period until you are actually the owner. So it is critical. If home loan finance is needed, don't go make additional debt. So we do have typical cases where people get their finance in order, the bank has been happy to give them the bond, then they go buy a new car or they go buy furniture, whatever the case, on credit, and that then fundamentally changes their whole credit profile and their credit scoring. So be careful and mindful of those things as well.
But there's also the flip side where the seller then has to pay you occupational rent. There's a reason, as I said, I've been leading down this rabbit hole, is because that's exactly what I experienced, where the title deed was in my name, but the seller then remained up until a certain period because you allow them to stay up until they're ready to move out, and you're quite flexible about those arrangements. But that seller then does not pay you occupational rent. So I'm just asking about how buyers themselves can protect themselves, and including sellers themselves, should the situation be the other way around. As I mentioned, the presence of lawyers on both sides. You spoke about a conveyancer. So who then enforces it when the one party is, in breach of that agreement?
It should be amongst both attorneys. So if there is a, so yes, there is a conveyancer that technically represents the seller, and there's a conveyancer that a bond attorney technically represents the purchaser if a bond is required. That is 100% correct. But by law, they should be representing both parties to make sure that we come to a conclusion, an amicable conclusion to the situation. So in both cases, if occupational rent is applicable, it is up to all parties, including the property practitioner, to ensure that they represent both parties to make sure we get to an amicable conclusion for all parties concerned. Although you are the conveyancer and you are looking after the seller's side, you are also representing by law both sides and both parties. So it is in everybody's interest as well to obviously make sure that the transaction goes through smoothly.
And as you say, the whole point is to make sure that you get your paperwork in order. And that means you, whether you're the buyer or the seller, you know the obligations of your legal team, because I certainly didn't have much luck, because even though I had an estate agent, they pretty much washed their hands off me and said, oh, there's nothing I can do. All they did was in favor of the seller, which was sad, but it was a good lesson for me to learn. And that's why I thought, it's very important that people buying homes or selling homes for the first time should be told of all types of things that could happen to them, right? So getting your paperwork in order, how do you know who to trust? Because here, as I say, I thought somebody was helping me in good faith. It didn't happen as that. Do you have recourse in any other way? The deeds office, I suppose there's nothing that they can do. All they can do is confirm the official owner is at that time. Am I correct?
There is the Law Society, there is the Estate Agency Board, PPRA, that you can lodge complaints to should the estate agent be in breach or you feel you're not being treated correctly. The Law Society, will come down quite hard on attorney firms as well if they're not representing all parties involved. And then if a home loan is involved, you've got the bank. So the bank has got a home loan for you and they've approved the home loan. You can approach them as well. They have got a little bit of clout in that regard as well. I think the key is to have a property practitioner. So if you're the buyer or seller, your property practitioner is a well-known, reputable agency. and your property practitioner will usually, in most cases, they will guide you to an attorney, a conveyancer, a bond attorney that is reputable as well and well known in the industry. So you should be protected. Should something come up, there are definitely other avenues you can follow to report anybody.
Okay, so let's talk about cancellation of the seller's bond, particularly the settlement of outstanding municipal debt and confirmation of compliance certificates. So what role does the deeds office play there? And again, we go to ensuring that you are protected and understanding to what point you interact with the deeds office.
Yeah, so you as individual won't represent yourself in the deeds office. It will be the conveyancer or the bond attorney, and no bond can be registered, so no transaction can take place without municipal clearances, without tax clearances. So SARS will also get involved. So your tax details and all of that will go through the deeds office as well. They won't transfer a property from one person to another unless those two fundamental things have been taken care of, and that's in the conveyancer and the bond attorney space. So they have to make sure that those things happen, and that the clearances have come through from the municipality.
And that's because the law has changed, right? Is in terms of confirmation of compliance certificates.
There's a lot more protection for buyers and sellers, definitely, than there were, you know, even as short ago as 10 years ago. Definitely 30 years ago, it was a lot easier when I started in Homeland. So but there is a lot more protection for buyers and sellers in terms of compliance and so compliance certificates. Just to give you an idea, 30 years ago, you needed a Beetle certificate, and that was just about it. Now there's Beetle certificates, there's water, there's electric fence, there's electrical. So they definitely have added a lot more compliance to the purchase of a property as well.
Mm. Okay, and what else should one be prepared for in terms of added expenses? What has changed since you started and what is happening now?
I think the key is to understand when the property is going to be transferred into your name. So are you prepared for that? Have you got the dates right and the time right? And have you got your movers right and all of those things? I think, you know, those are important. Do you want to paint or renovate any part of the property before you move in, after you move in? You know, do you need new furniture? Whatever the case may be. So there could be those things that you think make sense in your head when you buy the property, but then you suddenly understand what a tin of paint costs and what a mover costs. So compliance, as we just spoke about, compliance certificates and those as a seller, those are things you have to pay for. They do cost money. It doesn't just come off, you know, it's not done for free by anybody. Those things are important. And then if you're not going to move in immediately, where are you going to stay? You know, be that for a week or two or whatever the case is, you can move in immediately when transfer takes place. I think that's what most people try and do. Then obviously there's no additional cost in that. But there's always going to be a little bit of something. You're going to want to change a tap. You're going to want to paint a wall. You're going to want to do something. You need your DSTV guy to come in if you're not going to be able to do it yourself. So there's always a little bit of something that's in the best moves that people have planned and tried to look at and consider everything. There's always some money that's going to be spent.
Hmm. Any final parting shots that you would like to give to our listeners, particularly? I mean, you spoke about making sure that you know, according to the law, when the property is yours before you can plan renovations. What about maybe even if you need access to the property when it is in your name but the occupant is still there? What are your rights there?
Yeah, I think those are critically important. And your property practitioner or estate agents should be able to help you with that. So if transfer takes place I would say try and be as sure as you can that the person who's currently living there or renting there is definitely out and definitely moving, and what date that's going to be, and that is that is actually going to happen. That's the last thing that you want is to struggle with that on the day when you've got all your movers ready to go and now you're fighting to get this person out. So I think that's critically important. Your property practitioner should help you with that. If that is a problem or that does become an issue, obviously, you know, you may need to get the law involved, your attorney involved to issue summons, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's critical if you're looking to move in, especially when there's already a tenant in, maybe rather than an owner. It's very rare that an owner is not going to move out because they're getting their money and they want to move to the next place. It's usually a tenant that might happen to. And then in closing, you know, should you need home loan finance to purchase a property, again, get the paperwork in place. Make sure you know what you qualify for before you start this journey, so you've got an idea of what your credit record looks like, what affordability you've got, and when you go look for your dream house that you can actually afford it if you need a home loan.
Well, Colin, thank you so much for your time. Really, really appreciate it. Colin Strumpfer, Sales Manager at Better Bond.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.